Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. As always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We always, when we come in, we have expectation of that light to shine in our hearts. So let it be. Glorify yourself as you speak to us today in Jesus' name. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. Let's get started. Miracles, signs, and wonders among the people. You know, and I said at the beginning, if you know anyone that needs healing, please invite them to this room today. Now, I'm going to cover, you know, some things from the scriptures on how important miracles, signs, and wonders are. Now, we all know about miracles, signs, and wonders, but sometimes we forget the role that these things are supposed to play, especially with the gospel. Let me say right off the bat, and here will be one of my punchlines today. Any gospel that is not accompanied by miracle signs and wonders, it's a powerless gospel. I don't even know. I mean, when the church is not demonstrating, or any believer, they're not demonstrating miracles, signs, and wonders in their life, it's as best as if we're handicapped. It's like a handicapped situation. You know, that we're not just performing as God wants us to perform. But we need to step up in faith. We also first need to understand how these things work. Miracles, signs, and wonders, what they are supposed to do. And once we understand that, then we need to align ourselves with God's word. So I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to start here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Now, there are many scriptures that I will give quickly, and then I'm going to say some other things. So just stay with me as we go through this. Now, here's what Paul said. He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, it is important that we demonstrate the power of God. You know, when we are trying to preach the kingdom of the gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Just saying, you know, people should give their life to Christ and all of that stuff. That's good, but it's not good enough. We need to demonstrate the power of the gospel for the kingdom. The gospel of God, the kingdom of God, is not in meat and drink, but in power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. This, you know, we need to demonstrate these things. Glory to God. So let me share with us the word that Jesus himself, what he spoke concerning concerning these things about, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders. We'll pick it up here in John chapter 4 and verse 48. I'll give you a few verses here. John chapter 4 and verse 48. Here's what Jesus said. Glory to God. He said, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." So Jesus himself is pointing this out. You know, there are people that will not believe unless they see signs and wonders. Jesus said it himself. "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Wow. Now, here's another one. You know, in the ministry of Jesus, remember this year, we're trying to come into emerging of the sons of God. In the ministry of Jesus, throughout all these days. We're told that there were many signs and wonders that he did. That even if they were to write all the books, I mean many books, you know, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So signs and wonders that were written are that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now the ministry of Jesus was authenticated by signs and wonders. That's how his ministry was authenticated. I mean, let's look at Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, you know, about Christ. And he was saying many things, and he said, look, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Acts 2 and 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Hallelujah. So he's pointing out here that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was approved of God among the people. Now the title for this room today is Miracles, Signs, and Wonders Among the People. And I want to stress that, not just on the platform or on the stage, but among the people. He said that, look, God approved Christ among you by miracles, by signs and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as among the people, as ye yourselves also know. Wow. And what about the story of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, when he sent, well, at that point in time, John the Baptist being cast into prison and all that. You know, when he sent disciples, a couple of disciples, you know, to go and check the Lord out. He said, are thou he that should come? Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, John heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? I won't even get into the reason why John said that. John was the one that already introduced Christ. So why would he even say this? Well, he was in prison. So perhaps he was expecting the Lord to come and bust him out of prison. But he didn't. And Jesus was his cousin, you know, or second cousin. But their mothers were both cousins. And that's why at the end Jesus said, blessed is the one whomsoever is not offended in me. But let's leave that one alone. Let's talk about what Jesus said here in answer to this question. Are you the one that is coming, or should we look for another? And here's how Jesus answered. He said, well, go and show John again the things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Then he said, he dropped down here, a blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. But how is he authenticating his own ministry? He's saying that, look, because this is what Isaiah 61 said of him. So if I do these works, blind are receiving their sight, the lame are getting to walk, lepers are getting cleansed, you know, and so forth. You go tell him that, you know, and then, you know, see what he is going to say after that. You know, this is how Jesus answered that question. He put out, you know, those signs there. And many times that Jesus was talking to the disciples, you know, he would say things like, I mean, not just the disciples, but even the Jews and everybody. He would say, look, if you didn't believe me, because of, you know, what I said, then you should believe for the very work's sake. So we're going to look at, you know, some of the other ways where the Lord used signs and wonders to authenticate the ministry and the gospel. You know, so this is the point that we're trying to bring out today, that the miracles and wonders, they are powerful, and they are powerful tools for authenticating the gospel. In John chapter 14, when Jesus was talking here, let's pick it up in maybe verse 11. You know, he was talking to Philip, had asked a question about, you know, show us the Father and all that stuff. And so here is what he said. Let me pick it up at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, you know, if you find it difficult to believe that one, then believe me for the very work's sake. So Jesus is putting it out there to authenticate himself. Now, we don't base everything on signs, wonders, and miracles, because we know there are false signs, wonders, and miracles. However, any true gospel that is void of signs, wonders, and miracles is at best handicapped. I mean, it's like, you know, we just handicapped. Because what are you really going to do when you cannot demonstrate the power of God? So let's look at a few other things here that Jesus said to his disciples. In Mark chapter 16, when he would send them forth after he was leaving. We all know this. Everybody refers to it as the Great Commission or whatever. But the problem is, we don't do these things. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and 15. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, I didn't say these signs shall follow the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. No. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Are these signs following you? Now, the signs follow, not the signs are not in front. The signs follow. When you preach the word, the Bible says the apostles went everywhere, they preached the word, signs and wonders following. We're going to read some of those examples. But here is a challenge that Jesus put out to every one of us. You know, signs and wonders will follow you. In my name, they are, shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take off serpents. I saw a story when Paul once took up a serpent on an island. And if they drink any deadly thing, now these are signs and wonders, it shall not even hurt them. Here's a good one, which all of us can practice. They shall lay their hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means, like, as a believer, I can lay my hands on the sick, and the sick should recover. I can go and say, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. Put it out there. And he or she, they will recover. I mean, these are the things that Jesus challenged us with. But sometimes we forget. Let's look at the early church, how they did these things. In the same place where Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. You drop down to about verse 41, and here's what he said. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon all every soul, and many, not even few, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now that's many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Peter and John went one day in the hour of prayer. In the next chapter, chapter 3, they went to the temple, and the man that looked on them expecting to receive an alms, to whom Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And Peter, taking him up by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now Peter didn't wait for him to say, "Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, do you believe this and that?" Peter just gave him what he had. "I don't have money to give you, but here is what I have, and I'm going to give it to you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he pulled him up by the feet. Didn't give the man a chance to say, "Well, you know, I've been lame for all this life," and so forth. And immediately, glory to God, the man began to walk and praise God. Now, everybody knew this man, so it was a notable miracle. Now, this thing led to some kind of an uproar that we are going to read about. Because everybody knew this man there for a long time. So when they came and they wondered how in the world, well, Peter gave them testimony and said that, "Look, the Prince of Life whom you killed, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." This is Acts chapter 3, you know, and verse 15. "It is his name, through faith in his name, that I've made this man strong, whom you see and know very well. Even the faith which is by Christ has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So when the miracles happen, we use it as an opportunity to draw people's attention to the Lord, not to ourselves, not to say, "Well, I'm some great preacher and I have some power," which is what happens today. No, it is about Christ. And when he began to do these things, and, you know, Peter began to tell them, "Repent therefore and be converted." So all those miracles are supposed to bring people to conversion, that your sins may be blotted out, and so on and so forth. And he told them, and he began to give them, you know, all the reasons, you know, why they should be, because he told them, "Look, you are actually the children of the prophets, and you are the ones to whom God gave his covenants. Don't let it pass you by." And he told them. So finally, the Sadducees, the priests, and everybody, they were grieved that these people were teaching in the temple, and also that they were teaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because they are telling them that, "Look, by these miracles that we are doing, we are showing you that this Christ is alive." So when they grabbed him, they grabbed them, they threatened them, and they did all these things. He said, you know, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, he said unto them, "Ye rulers of their people and elders of Israel." And then he began to tell them, "If this day we be examined of the good deed that we did to this impotent man, and by what means he's made whole, let me tell you," he said, "that, you know, the name of Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified," so he indicted them again, "and whom God raised from the dead." Hallelujah. He said, "By him does this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which you guys rejected, but God has now made him to be head of the corner, and there's no salvation in any other." So they begin to preach salvation by the miracles, the signs and wonders. That's it. The miracles and signs of wonders, they began to preach salvation through that. And these people said, well, you know, they looked at Peter, and they looked at John, and they said, "Look, you know," they saw the boldness of them. They perceived that they were not, you know, scholars like themselves. They don't have degrees. And they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And then they said to them, "Look," they looked at the man who was healed. They could say nothing against it. Miracles cannot be denied. So when they had commanded them to go aside, listen to this. They commanded the disciples, you know, Peter and John, to go aside. They conferred among themselves, said, look, you know, what are we going to do to this man? You know, for that indeed a notable miracle. You can read this for yourself, and you should. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. What are we going to do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This is the power of miracles, signs, and wonders. Even though they didn't like them to preach the name of Jesus, they tried to throw them out of the temple and everything like that. They threatened them, they did all kinds of things, but they said, this miracle that they have done, we cannot deny it. Hallelujah. So they plotted how they are going to threaten them and everything. But this is key. Miracles, there's another punchline. Miracles, signs, and wonders done in the name of the Lord Jesus for the furtherance of the gospel cannot be denied. Can't deny. They may not like the name of Jesus, but they can't deny the miracles. So when we go among the people, and that's among the people, that's in our neighborhoods, that's when you are in the grocery stores, that's where you are anywhere. If you were to pull off a notable miracle, glory to God. Maybe you go in there in the store, you see somebody walking, you know, coming on a wheelchair, and you say, you know, and then maybe they're trying to get something off the shelf. And say, hey, can you give me a hand? You get that off the shelf? Absolutely. But also, I have something else to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk from that wheelchair. And you pull them up. My goodness. Well, if you had that kind of boldness, people don't have that kind of boldness today. Because we're always trying to maintain our space. Well, the person may not like it. Well, the person may say we're infringing on them. Well, this and that and that. And so on and so forth. You know, but if you were to do that, and the person stood up straight, they take a few steps and they find out, my goodness, I can actually walk. They're going to scream. When they scream like that, and the next thing you know, every eye in the store come there and say, what's going on here? Security might even come because they might think that something's going on. And they might say, the man or woman, they say, I'm healed. You know, and they begin to jump up and down. Look, all eyes will say, by what means are you here? What happened? You're just standing there minding your own business and so forth. Say, this person, you know, say this and that. The next thing they're going to know is they want to know who you are, where you go to church, or this and that. You know, maybe they have some sick person. This is how miracles happen and bring, but you know, we must, in a situation like that, be careful to say, no, I didn't do it. I just spoke over them the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the one that made them whole. Hallelujah. And let me tell you about this Jesus today. And then we begin to bring the gospel. But look, even if they didn't believe, even if they didn't like Jesus, they will be seeing the miracle in front of them. And there's really nothing they can do about it. That's what he says here, that we cannot deny it. They can't deny it. You know, so and let's look at what they finally did when they threatened them and said, look, don't speak in this name anymore. Here's how the disciples went. They went back to their own company and they prayed. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They prayed and said, Lord, behold the threatenings of the people. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders. They knew the importance of it. Signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And God answered that prayer. Because as soon as they finished praying, the place was shaking together where they were assembled, and they were filled again. This is the second time. All these people were filled in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost with the cloven tongues of fire experience. And these same people that received that cloven tongues of fire experience are here again asking God, you know, for power again, because they were afraid. And the Holy Ghost is coming upon them again. So here's another lesson for us. You know, receiving the power and endowment of power through the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. Maybe you've experienced before, maybe the oil has leaked out. Maybe you don't have the passion or the power anymore. Maybe you are now afraid, you know, to go out and among the people and do these things. It is then time, just like they did here, come back again and ask for more. And the Lord will send that same power again. And listen to this, you know, verse 32. I mean, let me pick it up again from verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, and so on and so forth. And verse 33 say, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Christ. And great grace was upon them all. You know, now, how are they able to, with power, do this? Well, because they were working miracles among the people. Great miracles among the people. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 12. And see how the Lord was walking with these people. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Now it's among the people. It's not just staying on the stage, having a microphone, and pretending to be something that we are all that. No. Among the people. That's how they did it. And I've told the story, and I will tell it here again. You know, where these people, these apostles, when they were being harassed, that look, all our widows, they have been left out. You know, they were, these people were having things in common. People were bringing things and they were distributing, and everybody was saying, look, you know, whatever we got, you got it. You know, they had things in common. Well, that's coming again. But when they were doing that, the widows felt left out, that they were not getting to them quickly enough. So they were complaining, you know, and bugging the apostles. And the apostles said, look, we can't do this. We need to focus on the preaching of the word. Now, you select among yourselves several men full of the Holy Spirit and so forth. Put them over these tasks that they will do. For us, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word. Glory to God. So when they did that, then they now selected. Look at the people they selected in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. The saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Ghost, and Philip, and a few others. So this Stephen and Philip, these first two, there are five more names there. These first two, look at who they did. They set them among the apostles. Apostles prayed for them, laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and they went, and everybody was doing their thing. And this Stephen, in verse 8 of Acts chapter 6, he was full of faith and power. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, Stephen was ordained to serve tables. You know, apostles said, look, we can't do this. We are not going to serve tables. That's the very word they used. You read it in Acts chapter 6, verse 2, you know. He said, look, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We're not going to do it. Now, you guys pick out some people that will do that. So Stephen was appointed to serve tables, take care of the widows in the daily ministration. But he, because he was a believer and had the Holy Ghost, he was not going to let himself be put out of action just because he was supposed to be doing tables. So I'll do the tables, but I'm going to go among the people. I'm going to work some miracles, signs, and wonders, because Jesus said it. These signs shall follow them that believe. And this man worked miracles, signs, and wonders, you know, among the people. What about Philip? This was the same. This was also, Philip was also one of the seven that was appointed. You might call them deacons or whatever, you know, serve tables. Philip also in chapter 8 of Acts went to Samaria. And when he went down there, you can read it in Acts chapter 8 verse 5. He went down there and preached Christ unto them. And all the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. It was because of the miracles that he did that made them to give attention to what he was preaching. If he was just there preaching, nobody would have paid attention to him. But when he was doing miracles, when unclean spirits, read it the next verse, Acts chapter 8, verse 7, unclean spirits crying out with loud voice, you know, came out of the people. Many that were possessed, they were taken with palsies, paralyzed people and all that. They were healed. People that were lame were healed. I mean, Philip, somebody that was supposed to be serving tables, doing all this, there was great joy in that city. Philip created an opera in a whole city. Just this one man who was supposed to just be taking care of the widows. He took care of the widows all right, but then he went among the people. He actually even went someplace else. He traveled to a different city and said, look, Jesus said we should lay hands on the sick. We can do these things. And he went out and did these things. Hallelujah. There was great revival, so great that they even had to call for the apostles. You know, when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they heard. They said, wow, what's going on down there? Well, let's go and let's send them some help. So they sent some of the apostles, Peter and John, to go down to Samaria, you know, and so on. But in the meantime, you know, Philip, he went on to other things. Holy Ghost told him, go out to this place, leave all of that and go someplace else. And he obeyed. Who, when he had gone into the desert, found this man, Eunuch, you know, from Ethiopia. And after he had preached to him and so forth, the man got baptized. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Signs and wonders, even in the life of Philip. I mean, can you imagine, you know, that Philip was even experiencing supernatural Holy Ghost transportation. Hallelujah. And he was just one of the, you know, people who were supposed to serve tables. Miracles, signs, and wonders that cannot be denied. Hallelujah. Let's read quickly John chapter 10. I'm going to tell you some other stories here in a minute. John chapter 10. Jesus drawing the attention of the people to these same things that we're talking about. Now remember, we cannot base everything on just miracles, signs, and wonders. However, if we have the true gospel, it must be accompanied by miracles, signs, and wonders. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. He was talking to the Jews who were claiming that they knew God. And they said, well, you know, he said to them, if I do not the works of my Father, this is John chapter 10, verse 37, then believe me not. Jesus is actually challenging the people. Don't believe me just because of my words. If I'm not doing the works of my Father. But if I do the works of my Father, even though you believe me not, then believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. I mean, what more evidence do we need from the words of the mouth of the Master himself, telling us the importance of miracles, signs, and wonders when done in the name of the Lord? He said, look, even if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe that works. And except you see signs and wonders, Jesus already said to him that I know you will not believe, but signs and wonders, you know, is what's going to make you to believe. Hallelujah. You know, so let's see, let's take a moment and think about it. What are we getting from this? You know, John chapter 15, verse 24 also. Let's take a look at that quickly. In John chapter 15, let's look at what Jesus said in verse 24. Similar thing, similar conversation here. You know, said unto them, look, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would have had no sin. But now, they have no hiding place, no cloak for their sin. You know, and he says in verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which not other man had done, then they would have had no sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father. So again, Jesus is authenticating himself, you know, by the miracles, the signs, the wonders that he did. And what are some of those things he did? Well, what manner of man is this? Matthew 8 and 27. He spoke to disease. He spoke to... Now, healing is different from signs and wonders. You know, so, you know, and working of miracles is even different from, you know, healing and so forth. Working of miracles covers all spheres of nature, not just healing. So healing, yeah, people receive that. But even working of miracles, it can affect nature. You can do all kinds of things. Jesus walked on the sea. The boat already left. No problem. Going to catch up by walking on the sea. 5,000 people need to be fed. No problem. Give me the little boy's lunch. You know, these are signs and wonders. Those are not healings. You know, those are signs and wonders. And the sea is raging. But his disciples are panicking. No problem. Jesus gets up and tells the sea to shut up. You know, if I had not done among them anything, things which none other person had done, then they would have had no sin. So, you know, Jesus distinguished himself by the things which he did. And the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, which we read, verse 22, God approved him by signs and wonders among the people. Now, let's look at examples in real life. And I know some of you have this. You know, the key thing that I want to bring out today is not just so much that, you know, we can do miracles, we can do signs and wonders. I'm bringing them out as a tool for evangelism. That's what I'm actually calling out to today. When these things happen, we must be quick to call attention to the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. Because this is a more powerful testimony than just telling somebody, give your life to Christ so that you can be saved. You know, but when we demonstrate the power of miracles, when they see it, they themselves cannot deny it. In all these examples that we have read. Now, let me give you some personal testimonies that when I was a much younger man, I experienced and how I saw it cause revival in the campus where I was. And some people may hear this and say, well, you know, that was, you know, many years ago. What is the Lord doing now? Let me tell you something. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. Can't put anything to it. Can't take anything away from it either. You know, he does it, it's forever. I mean, the miracles that we are reading in the Bible, as far back as the parting of the Red Sea that we read in Exodus, do you know how many years and thousands of years ago that was? We're still reading them in the Bible today and we're still shouting about it. Hallelujah. The miracles that we're reading here about these apostles that they are doing, how many hundreds or thousands of years ago were they? We're still shouting about them till this day. You know, so anything that God does, you know, it's not whether it was in the past, whether it is present, it doesn't matter. It is still fresh. You know, whatever the Lord does is forever. Hallelujah. You can't take away from it. You can't add to it. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. It's there. So all these testimonies are still good. I can tell you recent testimonies. My wife just told you one. But I can also tell you testimonies of years ago. They're just as good. Because if they're not as good, then we should throw away all these things we read in the Bible. So they are just as good. So listen to some of these testimonies. And the impact that I saw where it caused revival. And some of you may have heard some of this before. But listen to them again anyway. It's just like reading the Bible over. I was in this place. You might call it like similar to a junior college. In Lagos, Nigeria, many years ago. Federal School of Science for those that are from those parts. And God did some marvelous things. And I want to just call out a few things. How it impacted the students in the school. That's the point. Here. I'm not focused on the miracle itself, but the impact that the miracle had on conversion of souls. That's what I'm focusing on today. Hallelujah. So, there were a few notable instances that signs and wonders. I will even start by telling you some signs and wonders, which are not even miracles. I mean, which are not even healing. Just signs and wonders. When we were having fellowship in a classroom that had glass windows and corridor along the windows, so just a few people. On occasion, not every time, but many times, on occasion, the glory of the Lord would descend. You would see the cloud, the fire, and everything. You know, many people saw. And on those occasions, for some reason, the students that did not see the cloud, the fire, they would just line up along the corridor looking through the windows. Now, anytime we're having a fellowship and that glory didn't appear, nobody came to the windows. But when the glory appeared, they would line up by the windows. And it's like, what's going on here? They didn't say they saw anything. Actually, they didn't see anything, but something was drawing them. And then one by one, they would come in to inside, and we're still doing the fellowship, just minding our business, praising the Lord, doing, nobody stopped to preach to them or do anything. We're just doing whatever we were doing, carrying on. And each time that phenomena appeared, and they draw the students to the corridor like that, one by one, they come in. The doors were not closed. They'd come in. They come out there. They fall down. They start crying out for God to have mercy on them. I mean, it was amazing. The miracles, the signs and wonders of the glory of God appearing, drawing these people, they'll be crying out for help, for deliverance. Many of them will be delivered of demon power same day. Some of them, many, would, all of them, every single one that came in and fell down like that, gave their lives to Christ. And the Holy Ghost was preaching to them himself. And they would, some, right there, most of them, would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there and then. They had not even been baptized in water. Right there and then. They start speaking in tongues. Some of them start prophesying. I was like, wow, what is this? And then revival fires were spreading everywhere. You know, as if that was not enough. You know, the impact that that was having on the college. The students were knowing it because there was another group over there that was, they called them Scripture Union. That was a nominal group. They just got in there, did Bible study and so forth. They had no power. But this fellowship that I was in had some real fire power. So one day we were in the fellowship. I left, went down the hallway to the bathroom. There were two guys in the bathroom. One said to his fellow, now this SU people, that's what they call the Scripture Union group. It was a tag. It was actually like a name tag they used to just slight the people and say, ah, yes, you people. You know, it was some kind of a dishonor, they thought. So one said to, so I walked in the bathroom. Two of them were there. One said to his fellow, because they were hearing the singing down the hall, this SU folks had started again. The other fellow said, no, these guys are not SU. These ones are fire. Hallelujah. So I said, well, I didn't say anything. You know, you heard it. So I left. There was a lecturer in that school, folks. Mean woman. She taught us physics. Everybody knew her. Mean. I mean, mean. I can't even say the word here. Mean. But, you know, and she'd throw you out of your class, her class. She had thrown me out of the class, her class, at least once. Because I was reading something. I think I was in the class. I don't think I was paying attention. Probably reading the Bible or something. She said, she didn't like you reading, you know, she threw me out of the class. You know, and this woman was mean. Back in the days, women didn't wear slacks. They didn't curse. They didn't smoke. They didn't do any of these things. This woman did all of that. Mean woman. She was married to some, you know, secretary of Department of Transportation or something like that. She was a highly placed woman. Her husband at least was. So one day, somehow, I don't know how, but there was one of our students that she liked that was in the physics class. You know, the guy talked to her, persuaded her somehow to come into the fellowship. She came reluctantly, but the next thing we know, she's on her knees, you know, and crying for mercy, crying out, and being delivered, many things coming out of her. Can you imagine? Students now praying over her. We who were always scared of her. She received the Holy Ghost that day, spoke in tongues, prophesied that, you know, and immediately, she asked people to come and be doing fellowship in our office. Our office was much smaller, but she would ask some of us to come in there. And her character immediately, everybody knew it. They said, what's with this woman? People started wanting to know what happened. They said, well, she went to this fellowship. People started coming. As if that was not enough. Let me tell you the story of a notable miracle that happened that brought salvation to multitude of people in the school. There was a man who had this bicycle cart, you know, and he sold Fun Ice, Samco milk, Samco chocolate, ice cream, this kind of thing. And his name was also Sam. So I always remembered him because he was Sam and he sold this thing called Samco milk. Born deaf and dumb his whole life. Was a grown man. He never spoke. He was in that school before I got there. It was a 2-year junior college kind of school. I was there for only 1 year. And he had been there years before I got there. And everybody patronized. He was the only one in the school that had this thing. And so all the students knew him. He was a nice guy. Everybody liked him. But he couldn't speak. You went there. You use sign language. Point to what you wanted. You give him money. Sign language. You get your change and all that. But yeah, they liked him. And everybody patronized him because he was the only one in the school. One day, somehow, I don't know how, somebody invited him to our fellowship. The same fellowship I'm talking about. Now, this is the impact of miracles, signs, and wonders. What I'm talking about. Not just to say, oh, we did miracle. What does that mean? If it doesn't bring people to Christ, what does it mean? You know, so when this man came to our fellowship one day, my goodness, he ran out of that place. When the power of God struck him, ran out of that place, running around the whole campus, shouting, singing, and praising. This man never spoke a word. He only grunted when people wanted. He couldn't speak. His tongue was tied. Couldn't speak. You know, he was shouting, running around the whole place. He left the thing. He had brought his bicycle car, parked it against someplace. He left the thing. He ran around. Everybody in the campus knows this guy. I said, is that not Sam? What happened? He's running around screaming. And then, you know, decided to tell them how he got healed. He went to this fellowship. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, the next day, that room could not contain us. Glory to God. That whole school, students, anybody that didn't even believe God, before, didn't believe the Lord, didn't anything. Everybody started coming. Say, what? They started coming. This is the impact, folks, of miracles, signs, and wonders when done correctly in the name of the Lord. This man gave testimony of how he went to this fellowship and he began to speak. They never heard a word from him. My goodness. And he stuttered a little bit at first, and then the words started to get clearer and clearer, and then started to sing that song. My goodness. Revival in that school. It came to a point that, look, the classroom could no longer contain us. We couldn't find a place big enough. So we had to move the fellowship away from there. It was close to this place called the beach. So we moved it close to that. And those of you who are from Nigeria or may have been from there know the place. They were building around a co-hotel at that time. You know, so we moved the fellowship to the beach. That didn't stop the students. They would come. Didn't even stop people who needed miracles. One day, a man And you know, we have a lot of these things in Africa, cripples, you know, crawled on their hands and their feet, even on the streets. One day a man heard about things that are happening. A crippled man, born like that his whole life. And, you know, he crawled from the main street, and we had moved the fellowship away, even farther away, maybe another half a mile or 3/4 of a mile, I don't know. This man crawled on his hands and feet and everything to come to the fellowship. My goodness. He left that place that day on his feet. Glory to God. Straight up. And then when more people saw that, more people came to the Lord. I mean, it was just many things like that. There was one day a hunchback, you know, bent over this thing, big thing on his back. Many people who live in this country may not have seen stuff like that. It was like a camel's back on his back. Came to one of the meetings. And the power of God struck him. He was straightened out. That thing literally disappeared. My goodness. Revival fires. People had not heard of one miracle before. They heard of this one. I mean, it was just the impact of these things bringing people to the Lord, because miracles cannot be denied. Now, you can preach to people, you know, and say, give your life to Christ. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. But when they see a notable miracle like these things, it cannot be denied. I'll tell you one last one. In 2008, fast forward. Now, these stories I told you before, that was 1974 or so. So, fast forward to 2008. I'm now in the U.S. We now have a local church here in Phoenix, Arizona. We just started the church 2 or 3 years before. So, I said, well, I'm going to the Philippines to go and preach. So, I went. You know, well, some people, you know, are inviting me to come and so on. Some group of churches got together, created some crusade thing and so on. So anyway, I went with a friend. Cut the long story short. So there was one woman came for prayers. I think it was the second to the last day of the event. We would have like a pastor's conference, teaching conference in the morning, and crusade in the evening, miracle rally. That's all kinds of miracles. But this one was notable. I want to tell you why. The place where we went was a Muslim area. There were Muslims. And those times that I traveled overseas for crusades like that, went to Philippines, went to Tanzania, first went to the inner cities, the Muslim areas. You know, big evangelists from the United States have been to those countries, but they never go to those villages. They stay in the big city. They stay in Manila with the lights and everything. So we went down to the villages. Anyway, this woman, she had an advanced stage of cancer. I think it was breast cancer, stage 4 or something. I mean, she was doomed. After prayer, she received healing. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it. I prayed for her. I didn't know anything about it. Just prayed. She never came back, because that was the last day of the event. And the next day, the event was actually a youth event that we did somewhere else. So even if she wanted to come, she couldn't have had a chance, because we moved the venue. So I left. Anyway, fast forward 2 years later, I want to tell you the impact of miracles, signs and wonders. This woman was a Muslim, from a Muslim family, and she lived in a small village who were all Muslims. Fast forward, she got my email address from the local pastor down there that had invited us. They actually started, a church. Named by our church here, over there. So she got my email and sent me an email. Not exactly very good English. I don't speak good English, but she conveyed her point. I eventually asked her for permission. Can I post this on our website? She said yes. And I posted it. It's on our website today. She said, I'm Mary, I'm Sister Anna Lou something something. Pastor, maybe you remember me or don't. You know, I'm the lady you prayed for, so. When she started to say it, I had actually forgotten. Then I remembered. And then here's the amazing testimony that followed. Now, it's not just she was healed of the cancer. You know, that's great. But what was the impact of that healing? Here was the impact. This woman was from a Muslim family. Because of that miracle, which happened almost immediately, I just didn't hear about it for 2 years. You know, she told me that something happened to her right there that night. You know, that the pain that she had been having for years stopped immediately. And then on and on went, you know, she started going back to the doctors and everything. They found that this thing was gone. But it took her 2 years to figure out how to write it and send it. And then she said what happened was her entire family, and maybe even some extended part of the family, about 8 or 9 people in her family, they were all Muslims. They turned their lives around to Christ because of that one miracle. Hallelujah. She asked the local pastor there, she said, look, Pastor Joel, can you start our church was called GMI Church. Can you start a GMI church in our village? They started a church there. That was not even enough. They started a church in her own house. It started from her house. This thing started from her house, her very house, who used to all be Muslims. All her family turned their life to Christ. Majority of the people in their small area of that village gave their life to Christ because this woman became an evangelist. You know, because they knew her. She was dying. And they knew that she was a goner. You know, and when she reached, they said, what happened? She told, well, how she went to a crusade and got prayed for and got healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Muslims started to give their lives to Christ. And she wrote this story. I wasn't there to see it. I just prayed for her and left. I didn't even know what happened or didn't happen until I received the email almost 2 years later. And I posted the thing on our website. This is the impact of miracles, signs, and wonders. So, when we go out among the people, take the name of Jesus with you and step up by faith. Don't worry about anything that anybody will do or not do or say. Let's be bold. Hallelujah. He creates miracles. I mean, these miracles create, you know, testimony. It creates an amazing testimony. You know, this is how the Lord gives testimony, you know, even to the things, you know, that the disciples were doing. The Lord himself was giving testimony even to them. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, these disciples were doing these miracles and always bringing it to the name of around to the name of the Lord. And the Lord was adding people to the church because of these things that they were doing. But they were the ones doing these miracles in the name of the Lord, but then turning around and giving all the glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, when a notable miracle is done in the name of the Lord, impact is to bring conversion of souls. That's what it's all about. And so that's what I am emphasizing today. Wherever we go, whatever opportunity we have, it's not just about us, you know, saying that we know how to heal the sick. What good does that do? You know, when we heal the sick, we bring witness to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give, you know, a demonstration. Hallelujah. You know, to the power of Christ. And people who don't even believe, they cannot deny it. Read it in the scriptures. They say, well, we can't deny this, even though we don't believe, but we can't deny it. And then, you know, the name of the Lord begins to grow. And the Lord begins to even give witness, you know, begins to give witness, you know, even to his own name through the miracles, signs, and wonders that are done in his name. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us be bold to do miracles in the name of Christ. And let's not back down. Let's not back down at all. You know, let's do these miracles. We've read it in the Bible, what the apostles did. We've read it even what the laymen like Stephen and Philip did. We've read what Jesus commanded us to do, right? You know, so, I mean, what else are we waiting for? Let's go out in the name of the Lord and let's do these things to bring glory to God. When we do these things, even the people that did not believe will start to come around and say, wow, even though I don't believe, but these things cannot be denied. And we're going to start even for ourselves who are in this room today. If anyone needs, I'm going to do a little bit of a healing prayer session in just a minute. If anyone needs healing right here, so because, you know, when we talk these things, we have to also demonstrate them. Paul said, look, I don't want your mind to be based on how well I can speak, but in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. So let's demonstrate. You know, let me ask for those that may need healing in this room. We'll start with that. You need healing of any kind. Glory to God. The power of the Lord is present to heal. Now, you cannot give what you don't have. So when you receive healing of the Lord, and you can go out there and use it to testify to peace. Your testimony, nobody can steal it from you, whether they believe or not. Like this woman who was healed of this stage 4 cancer, who was a Muslim, it was her testimony. It was only her testimony. You know, it was her testimony that turned so many people to Christ. Just like the woman at the well, she went to the village and said, I met a man that told me everything I ever did. Shouldn't this be the Christ? And everybody started coming, well, let's go see. And then they came and see. And they said, well, yeah, we've seen. And not just because you told us, but we've seen for ourselves. This is what the impact of these things that they do in the lives of people. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm going to do right now. If anyone needs prayer for healing, now I'm going to pray for you because I can't lay hands on you. But normally we just lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. But if you are here, you need healing of any kind today. Let's believe God together. Hallelujah. I want you to hit the hand raising button. And I'm going to just ask the Lord to look at anyone that raised their hand. Hallelujah. And whatever it is you need healing for, it may be something private that you don't need to declare, but as long as you raise your hand, hallelujah. And if you are even on stage and you need healing for something else, you got to participate in this as well. So anyone that's here, I want you to believe God. You know, for these next few minutes, we've heard how the power of God is present. Jesus said, look, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means touch you. Tread upon serpents, do all of these things and so forth. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, when he sent them out, he said, look, as you go, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead even. Freely you have received, freely you give. That's Matthew chapter 10, by the way. Sorry. Matthew 10, verse 7. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, and he sent them out like that. And they went out and did these great things. Well, Jesus, when he was leaving, he prayed for not only his disciples that were present. He said, I pray not for the world in John chapter 17, but I pray for these ones who thou, Father, has given to me. And not only for them, but for those who down the ages will hear about me through their word. So Jesus already prayed for us. And he turned around and said, Father, as you have sent me, so have I sent these ones. He prayed that prayer in John 17. Also then in John 20, verse 21, and so he told them, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. How did the Father send him? Well, Acts 10 and 38. How God anointed Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of death. That's how the Lord sent him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said. And he gave witness, you know, the miracles that authenticated him in the answer to John's question, John the Baptist, whether he was the Christ. And then he conferred the same power on us. So we got that power today. I want you to experience it first time. So if you need healing in this room, raise your hand. We're going to pray for you. And then when you leave this room also, you go out and pray for others. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, if you have opportunity, just heal the sick already. You do a lot of praying inside your closet. When you're out among the people, you just use the name of Jesus. There's no need for long prayer. There's no need for prayer. Heal the sick. You know, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, whatever it is. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, one time he prayed. He said, Father, you know, I pray this not for my sake, but for their sake, so that they may believe. I mean, he already knew that the Father already heard him. So that's how we also pray when we pray in public. We pray with the mind that people may know that we're representing Christ. It's not that the prayer that we are going to pray at that point is what's going to do anything. No. But that people may know that we are representing Christ. Then we pray in his name, or we speak in his name. And then, you know, when the thing happens, then we'll be quick to point the attention back to the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I thank you for the hands that I see here. Hallelujah. All the hands that I see that are raised, and others, glory to God, that need a touch from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. Neither is God is a respecter of time and space. That doesn't bother the Lord at all. Time, space, I may be here, you may be there. It makes no difference to the Lord at all. We've seen many occasions in the Bible where Jesus said, go thy way. You know, and for somebody who was standing in the gap for somebody else. And in that same hour, whoever they were standing in the gap for was made whole. Now, you may also even be standing in the gap for somebody else. It may not be you. And I'm here and you are there. We're not in the same room, but it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is not bound by time or space. So I say in the name of the Lord Jesus, to everyone that is had raised their hand for prayer, whether for yourself or standing in the gap for someone else. And I see your hands, those of you that raise your hands, glory to God. The Lord sees your need in this hour. Now I command healing and deliverance for that situation that represented by the raising of your hand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's that simple. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Time will fail me today to tell you of so many miracles that we have seen, but you know, enough said already. Now, are you all in today also for you of who are receiving this message? Are you all in to carry the power of the Lord into, you know, the marketplace among the people? Don't wait to be on stage. You know, this is the error, you know, of this generation where people think, oh, they've got to be on stage. They have to have a microphone to do this and that. And that's what does anything. No. We're coming against all that stuff this year. And we're calling it out more and more that the sons of God must emerge. You yourself. Don't wait for any apostle, pastor, preacher, this and that. Those are what I'm calling factory workers only. And their end product is they must produce sons of God. They themselves being first partakers of the same thing. Hallelujah. You know, so, but when the Son of God arrives on the scene, they are not looking for, you know, an apostle or a prophet evangelist, pastor, or teacher to pray. They themselves, you as a son of God. This is what we are teaching now in these rooms starting this year. You as a son of God, you step out in faith and you do these things. You don't need some apostle. You don't need to be looking for some prophetic word, you know, for, you know, this and that. You've got that power. Behold, I give unto you power over serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. Tread upon all these things and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power to go among the people, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. Hallelujah. For as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Father, I thank you for healing for the hands that are raised, either for themselves or for someone else. And you know, you may even need something today that's not exactly healing. Maybe you need a miracle. You know, the miracles are different from healings. Miracles can be something else that you need. It may not necessarily be a healing. It may just be a breakthrough that you need. Those are also miracles. Hallelujah. I was in a meeting some years ago and I called the prayer line. And I said, "You, those of you that need healing, stand over here. Those of you that need miracle for something else, stand over here." And a young man went over here to the other side, the miracle line. And then he stood before me and said, "Well, they were in the car selling business and they hadn't sold anything for months." And I said, "Well," and I just said a few words. And I don't remember exactly what I said to the young man. But anyway, you know, this was some years ago. I visited some church in Nigeria. A week or so later, I left that place, went to another city. My wife came from the U.S., attended the church there. And there's some of you who are here may know the Brethren Church. This young man goes to my wife and say, "Wow, last week," talked about when I prayed for him over his business. I think it was just about a week apart or so. In that time, he had sold 13 cars. Glory to God. 13 cars, and he wanted to give my wife a honorarium or something to give to me. You know, I was not there. I already moved on to a different city. But look, whether it's healing, whether it's miracle or breakthrough you need, it doesn't really matter when the anointing is flowing. God can do it for you too. So if that's you also in this room today, you need some extra, you know, trouble boost. You believe in God, but you all need a little extra help today. Well, cash in on this as well, because the anointing of the Lord is here. I pray for everyone that's looking for a miracle today. A miracle of a new beginning also, even for you. Hallelujah. The Lord grant it to you. Be it unto you according to your faith here this morning. If you believe the Lord, all things are possible. I'm challenging all of us. Let's go out, come back to testimonies and challenge the rest of us. Bible says, let's provoke one another unto good works. Challenge us. You know, it will stir us up and so forth. You know, one time when my wife, we were not married then, many years ago, in the streets of Lagos in Nigeria, you know, when we had deliverance for one crazy man that had been on the street for years, terrorized everybody that passed by that part of the street. If you passed on that side, he jumped out, he tore you up. You know, so people, when they got close to that area, those of you who knew Lagos, was around race course. And you have to cross to the other side of the street. You didn't dare pass in that place. One day we were passing, we were not even married then, but we love to go out and do things. You know, cut a long story short, initially when I got there, and this is the thing about being afraid. Initially when I got to that area, I remembered this thing and tried to cross to the other side. This mad, crazy person is there, you know. And as soon as I did that, you know, and had, you know, my wife with me, we were going together then, not married. Holy Ghost said in so many words, I don't remember how he said it, but you know, put it in my words today, you know, in my face, said, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. You know, you need to go over there and set the guy free. I'm like, what? I said to her, I said to my lady, you stay over here. Let me go over there and check this thing out. You know, so I crossed back over to that side. Of course, she didn't stay. She didn't follow right. But I told you to stay over there, you know. So anyway, this man jumps out at me, coming out of me with a fury like that. Crazy man bound with demons like legions, you know, like it was in the Bible. You know, I mean, really crazy guy. But in any case, he got close enough, but he didn't. Because I said, in the name of Jesus, something, something. I mean, you like the words I said. You foul unclean spirit, come out of him. And he tore, the thing tore him up and down. He did all kinds of things. Tore him in the middle, tore him up and down. He got just so close, but he didn't, you know, lay hand on him. After a few minutes or moments, rolled and everything. And his eyes cleared. You could hear the smell come out. Say, oh, what happened? Where am I? And I knew he had been delivered. He'd been on those streets I don't know how many years. And I said, well, it's a long story. So we took him to, I want to point something out real quick. We took him to this place called Salvation Army. Some of you know Lagos. They had an office around Obalende or something. Back then in those days. We took him there, got him all cleaned up. You know, told them the story. They didn't believe it, but in any case, well, whatever. So this man, he followed us to the fellowship the next time we had the meeting, the next sort of fellowship day. He came, when he gave his testimony, my goodness, revival, this was Sister Julia's prayer that reminded me. The revival everywhere. One brother, young brother, jumped up. He said, you guys, killed a madman off the street. And they knew the story. Everybody knew the story of this man. He jumped out and said, I'm going to go look for some crazy person to heal. Glory to God. So you go out and you come back and you give your testimony and it will inspire the rest of us to get up and awake from sleep and arise from the dead. And let's go out and do some great things for the Lord and bring more souls to the kingdom. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. That is our room for today. I'm going to leave it there because time is far spent. But remember, in summary, I say one last thing. Miracles, signs, and wonders among the people are for one purpose and one purpose only. To bring attention to the power and the name of Christ so that people might believe on him and give, turn their lives around, even those that would not have believed otherwise. It's a powerful tool that we must use. We got to have that in our arsenal for when we evangelize and we use miracles, signs, and wonders. God bless everyone. Thank you for listening. Good morning and welcome to the room.